Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know, we've heard the term, we've been loving our forests to death. Sometimes overprotection is not necessarily good for them. That's nothing new on people. I think we understand that our wood products industry is a viable part of forest management overall, forest health, and also the health of the economy. Now, let's not separate those two. Those are equally important. And so this is the fourth year in a row that a group from Sun Mountain Lumber and others have gotten together. And they call it a partnership meeting because, look, we're in this together. So we're going to talk about everything wood products industry here today and the health of our forests one day ahead of this fourth annual partnership meeting. Chris Anderson and Sean Steinbeck are going to join us from Sun Mountain Lumber in Deer Lodge, Montana. Wood products industry, our forest health, our economic health, that's on tap here for the fourth annual partnership meeting, again, put on by Sun Mountain Lumber. It's going on in Deer Lodge. This is taking place tomorrow, I guess it's kind of gotten really big. In fact, we chatted with Sean Steinbeck last week, and he said it's as big as it's been. So let's welcome our guests. First, though, it's Chris Anderson, controller, network administrator, treasurer of the board. You probably wear like 14, 15 different hats, Chris, I suppose, huh?
I think that sounds about right, Tom. I think I'm wearing at least four different hats most days, something like that.
And Sean Steinbeck, how are you doing, Sean? Good to hear from you again.
I'm doing well, Tom. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for being here too. I'm going to have Chris, both you guys talk about it, but Chris, start off with this partnership meeting is again. I know this is your fourth annual. It keeps getting bigger. Maybe it keeps getting better. What is it you guys are trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I think all of the above, Tom. We keep every year trying to make it bigger and better. Sean came to us a few years ago and said, "Hey, would you guys like to start having a partnership meeting?" And initially, sure, my owner was not quite completely up on the idea. I was like, hey, just give it a chance. Sean knows what he's doing. He's got good ideas. We need to get it out there. We need to show the community, the state, the country, the world, whatever you want to get at, that we are, just like you said earlier, partners in this. And so we invite anyone and everyone that would like to come and attend. We have speakers in the morning. We give you a free lunch. And then we give you a good in-depth tour through our facility in Deer Lodge.
Sean, talk about what this partnership meeting has, the genesis of it. But as you set out to, accomplish this, what has it accomplished?
Well, it's brought a lot of folks together. I think that, it's in the name, and I'm sure people have heard it because, both Christopher and I have been spouting it off for a long time. There's only five major mills left in the state of Montana, and compared to probably when I was a kid, there was 35. And so we're shrinking. And I would say that every single one of us, whether it's an agency partner or industry partner or DNRC or contractors, we all know each other, and we all are working together and to try to bring forest management, healthy forests, hazardous fuels reduction to the forefront of what we're thinking about. And this meeting is kind of showcasing that.
Why are we, and I'll go back to Chris Anderson on this, or both you guys, whoever wants this one. Why are we down from 35 down to just 5 now? I mean, I know there are a lot of reasons for it, and we've talked about it and try to understand it, but Chris, when somebody asks you that, what happened to all our sawmills? What happened to the wood products industry in Montana? Do you have a ready answer?
Yeah, the problem we've had is it continues to build. Everyone in the state relies on each other. And when I say everyone, I truly mean everyone. We've got to have timber coming off of all of the landowners in the state, and it just so happens in the state of Montana, the largest timber landowner is the federal government. So if the federal government's not putting logs off of their forests so that we can all cut them up and use them, then none of us have a good low cost supply that we need to operate at a good margin and turn a profit. You throw in illegitimate lawsuits to cause problems with that, then it further exaggerates the problem. And then the other thing, and I mean, shoot, we're talking on an electronic public radio right now. The other thing that's gone away is the use of our byproducts. It's not as common for newspapers to exist. It's, everything's shifting, and so the use of our byproducts has gone away. And so just this last year, Roseburg closed down the plant in Missoula, and that sent shockwaves through the state of Montana. And so a little bit of everything like that over the course of, say, 35 years, everything just continues to build and cause problems and gives pushback. And if you're not perfectly set up to handle those, then you end up shutting your doors.
Sean Steinbeck, are all those players at the table? Are they all? And you know where that question leads. I mean, Chris, you hit on it. It's lawfare. It's overregulation. It was environmental lawfare, actually, that's designed to, in my mind, more to raise funds than it is to actually help the forest in a lot of ways. And the forest products industry had a lot to learn, and I think they've learned a lot over the years. Are all those people at the table as necessary, Sean, to keep a strong forest economy going?
Yeah, I think we're all at the table. And I guess I would touch on, you know, as far as the litigation goes, which is a huge, huge issue for us. You know, I think if 30 years ago, 35 years ago, we had started, let's say American Forest Resource Council, who assists us a lot in lawsuits and keeping abreast of information with, you know, with federal timber across the nation, and they're a great advocate for us. I think if we'd have had something like them back then, it would have really helped out. These guys go to bat for us quite a bit in some of these ridiculous lawsuits that we end up in, and we haven't had that kind of help. And it's not an industry that you know, it's where most of our, well, all of our folks are head down, work hard people, and these lawsuits are just not something that we engaged with in the beginning, and I think a lot of that is how it got such a head of steam of you know, disastrous head of steam. Well, hopefully that makes sense. I really yep. appreciate you know, the AFRC going to bat for us on legal terms. It puts lawyers with us that, you know, I'm embarrassed to say we wouldn't have had the time or the money to engage with.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's an important part of this, and not the only part of it. I know, as Chris is, as you were saying, there's you know, the use of the byproducts, but I guess that can be traced back to the loss of market share in some ways too. So Sean, I'll ask you this: are those groups, and there's especially in Montana, they're pretty well known, handful of groups, three or four, that constantly draw lawsuits up in favored courts, and they don't come to the table. They do not come to any meeting ahead of time, any meeting during or after. Are you able to engage those groups, or are they stuck where they're at, and it's the environmental community that's going to have to shift them?
Yeah, they definitely won't engage. You know, I sit on several collaboratives, and we have reached out, you know, because the collaborative process is part of you know, federal land management and the environmental analysis that takes place on these, you know, for these projects. And part of what drives that environmental analysis is what's called the 2012 planning rule, which, you know, requires or asks that folks get together to drive how these projects go. And it's that process is continuously snubbed by these environment, you know, the core litigants in the state of Montana. Zero desire to dictate or be a part of the development or implementation of these projects, or even the analysis of these projects. It's really, really frustrating.
It is. And I'm super frustrated about it as well, that their intent seems to be pretty clear when they do not engage when it comes to actual planning on the ground. It's just to delay and destroy. Chris Anderson, how has the forest industry then responded? I'm still curious as if there are a number of groups. And I've spoken to some people individually, and they're hesitant. You know, some environmentalists individually, they're hesitant to criticize these other groups, but they're as flat tired of it as the rest of us. I mean, there's got to be some movement in that regard. Again, that's not the only thing that goes on there, too. But talk about it from your standpoint. Sun Mountain Lumber, it's been around for a long time. Sherman Bonney formed it in 2004 when they purchased the Louisiana Pacific Corporation, former stud mill and joint facility there. How have you guys managed with this dynamic and the frustrations? How do you manage to stay in business?
It's always a little bit of a juggling act. A lot of employers call running their business a circus, and I think that's definitely the case here. Public opinion has shifted quite a bit in recent years, and the problem is that public opinion has changed after seeing major issues. It was a year and a half ago that New York City had more smoke in it than the state of Montana did because of forest fires, than the Palisades fires in L.A. this last year. All of these things that are these major catastrophic events finally pique people's interest, and they start to notice things that they didn't notice in the past. But the problem is they're noticing it after a major disaster. They need to be on board, and they need to notice and understand and care about forest health before we get to those problems. If they aren't on board and they don't give their voice of support for us prior to those type of events, it makes it more difficult. And so the last few years has been a big push, especially from us internally. This partnership meeting that's coming up tomorrow, being part of that, we feel that that's what we pay. That is what Sean's job is to be the outreach forester so that everyone in the public, and I mean everyone, we will talk to anyone. I'll pay Sean to drive to any meeting he wants to voice our opinion. And we just need to get our voice out there and our voice to be heard, because it has been quieted for so long that it's been tough for us, that's for sure.
The partnership meeting, fourth annual, is put on by Sun Mountain Lumber. They're based out of Deer Lodge and have been there, for such a long time. I think probably the mid-70s or something to that effect. And so with us here is Sean Steinbach. He's an outreach forester, set up this partnership meeting tomorrow. It's going to actually take place. It really got so big that you guys couldn't hold it at your place anymore. Is that right, Sean?
Yeah, it's getting bigger. Yeah, it'll be at the Elks Club in Deer Lodge. And it was a little, I think it's a good indicator of, you know, when we were talking earlier about how many we've got the nation's forest products industry and forest management has got the nation's attention right now, more so than it ever has in my career. But we've got more people attending, more people RSVP'd than we have in years past. And I think it has a lot to do with all that attention that this administration is putting on forest
good.
Products and
time
forest
to,
management.
Time to fix it, too. And I'm really glad to hear that. I'm going to take this call. Bill doesn't disappoint. He's listening in Billings on the mighty 790 KGHL. And Bill's got a comment for us here today on Voices. Good morning, Bill.
Well, good morning, guys. You know, I was over in Idaho a couple of weeks ago, and there was an old pickup parked there in front of where I was parked, and this old guy with big beard and these big black suspenders on was getting in it, and I happened to notice his bumper sticker on the back, and it happened to say, if you're opposed to logging, try wiping your butt with plastic. I laughed for about 5 minutes. You guys have a good day.
Hey, thanks, Bill. I'm uncomfortable now. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. But that's a good point.
That's spot on.
Yeah, that's a good point, Chris.
Exactly. Right, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead. Whoever wants to take a follow-up on that. You know, how much you talked about byproducts in one thing. And, you know, I wonder what market share, how that affects that as well. But I don't even want to think about what happens, you know, if we don't have trees in our life.
That's exactly right. And they're the primary producer of oxygen for all of us to breathe. And so you run out of that, and that becomes a real problem. But aside from that, and back to Bill's funny bumper sticker, there are so many uses for the timber. Not only just building your houses, which is primarily what we produce in both of our facilities, as we're stud mills, both here in Deer Lodge and in Livingston, as we produce studs that go in the walls to build your house. Good luck building the house without those. Mm-hmm. Back to, again, Bill's funny sticker. But beyond that, the byproducts from all of our operations are used in so many things that without them, you'd start to run into a few problems and your butt might get a little bit dirty in the case of what Bill mentioned.
Well, yeah, very true. And we're like that. We kind of take things for granted. And then, as you noted, we start seeing them be abused in some way or threatened, like the health of our forests. Why don't we get in there and manage them instead of just watch them burn? And people are understanding that message in a lot of ways. I want to shift this to what is working? What's being done? I mean, has there been a project where this cooperation actually highlights a coming together for, you know, a general benefit versus one or the other?
Yeah,
I'm not involved with you.
Yeah. You know, I guess my mind immediately goes to we were a collaborative partner in the Basin Creek Watershed Project outside of Butte. It's Butte's municipal watershed. We've got a collaborative group, the Beaverhead Deer Lodge Working Group, that was a big player in helping that project move forward. You know, it's a 1,300 acre treatment of dead and down lodgepole pine. Right in the middle, it's Butte's municipal watershed, right? And so they were extremely worried that they had all this fuel on the ground, dead, dying lodgepole that was going to, you know, if a fire occurred in there, they would lose their primary water source for Butte's drinking water. And it created a ripple effect downstream. You know, they'd have to go to a secondary source, the Big Hole River, which, if people are paying attention, has its own set of problems that make that difficult. But we got together. We got, at the time, Senator Tester, Senator Daines, Governor Gianforte, at the time, the Chief of the Forest Service, Randy Moore. We brought together a huge list of heavy hitters to come in and make that project the number one priority on the forest. Got the environmental analysis done. So far, no litigation. It's a big win, and we're really hopeful we'll get some logs off that project and take care of Butte's drinking water. It's very, very good thing.
Yeah, good to see that moving forward. You know, this happens. I should have anticipated it. We'll take another phone call here because people want to share some comments or questions and stories, because we have lived through this in Montana, down from 35 down to 9. John, listening in Clancy on KCAP out of Helena, 950 AM. John, thanks for your call today. You got something to share for us?
Yeah, I came down to the Bitterroot Valley in about 50 years ago from Alaska. Mm. And I had two little girls. They're just one was like in the second grade, and one was just starting school. And we didn't have a lot of money to build, you know, just hire a builder. So I went into the Forest Service, and I wish I could remember Charlie's last name, but he was a chief ranger there in Missoula. And I told him my predicament. I said I had 6 acres that a lady had sold me down to Bitterroot, but I wanted to build a house. And he said, "Hey, I'll fix you up." He said, "There was a big wind blow up on top of the mountain there east of Stevensville, and he said, we'll go up there, and any of them dogs that are down, you can have. So I took my old Bronco, and I built a trailer to haul up to 20-foot logs, and my wife and my kids and I, for about 3 months, we hauled down 125 logs, and the girls hand-peeled them, and we built our house there in the Bitterroot. Now, you try to do that today. You know, if you went up there and pulled more than 75 feet off the road, there's one of those log police guys going to write you a ticket.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you sharing that. And I'm going to throw that to you, Chris, just about those stories that are real life. I mean, there are so many people who in our listening area who have, you know, straight teeth and who have, you know, broken arms that were healed because there was a good jobs in the forest products industry. There still are, but that's kind of gone away a little bit. You know, talk about the value of those stories, Chris. Does that inspire you to keep moving forward?
It does for sure, Tom. The forest products industry has been a major player in the development of the state of Montana over the course of the years. For the longest time, exact stuff like John's story is how the Forest Service operated, and they worked with their communities, and they were great partners to have. And when any of the large timber sales happened, the logging company was the one who built the roads that we all love and rely on when we go out in the forest. The money that we put towards logging and purchasing the timber from the Forest Service that was on, say, state lands, that stuff went right to the public school fund that helped build out Montana schools over the years. There are so many success stories from the timber industry over the years that I don't want us to get bogged down in the bad ones.
Yeah.
They've happened and they'll continue to happen.
I got a breakup coming here, and so partner. I'm going to let you guys go at this point, but I will follow up. All right. I'd like to hear what you learned from this meeting. Yeah. So we'll be in contact real quick. Shortly afterwards, so to speak. Thank you guys for being on the air. Chris Anderson, Sean Steinbach, Sun Mountain Lumber, SUNMTNLumber.com.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.